countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
Now, I have here a big book, and it's called The Great Irish Farm Book, which I have here. It has a delightful front cover with beautiful illustrations of farm animals. And on first sight, it looks like, you know, I suppose a children or young person's book. But in fact, it's a contemporary encyclopedia, if I may say so, of everything you need to know about farming, farmers, farm animals and farm life in Ireland today. Now, Sally Caldwell, she is the wonderful illustrator of this book. And the author is Dara McCullough, old friend and colleague here. And he's with me in studio. Dara, good morning.
Good morning to you,
well,
Damien.
Well, congratulations on the book. It really does stand out because of its size. And its beautiful colour on the front. Who is it aimed at then?
Yeah, I suppose the original idea behind it is that it's aimed at kids. I mean, Gill Publishers have had a kind of a series of these books. There was the Great Irish Weather Book, there was the Great Irish Science Book, and they asked me to do the Great Irish Farm Book. So it's very much targeted at children's market.
Yeah.
But as you say, I like to think that when grown-ups, curious grown-ups open it up, that they'll find that there's plenty to learn as well.
Oh, no, absolutely. Like, if you do want to find out about farming, and it's divided into the different sections, like obviously, you know, you have farm machinery, you have dairy, you have dairy breeds, you have the farmer's day, you have spring, you have beef breeds, and it's so easily accessible, and it just is a great explainer as to what's going on in the countryside, because I think it's very timely, Dara, you know, we're at a time now that we've moved another generation away from the land, and they're grown adults now that don't have a granny or granddad, let alone parents that come from a farming background.
Yeah, there's this kind of dangerous vacuum, actually, of information about, you know, everybody consumes food 2 or 3 or maybe more times a day, and food comes from farms. And so everyone has an opinion on food and how it's produced and all the rest of it. But, you know, as the years slip by, as you say, I find that there's this increasing disconnect between people's concepts of how food is produced and the reality. One of the kind of things that strikes me when I'm talking about that is, do you remember the whole re-rogs, roo-de-boo-de, when Keelings took in workers to pick their strawberries at the start of the lockdown? Everyone was shocked and appalled that an Irish company would be taking in foreigners to pick fruit. And I was there going, hello, you know, Irish hands haven't touched a lot of the fresh produce on our shelves in years and decades.
It's the same in the UK, it's the same in the United States as well.
So it's just an example of the disconnect. I mean, whether it's how a cow calves, where an egg actually comes from.
Yeah. Do you find that generational gap now, that people that obviously have no direct contact with farming, you know, have zero contact with farming, never stood on a farm, they consume obviously farm products, but if you ask them in a survey their opinion of farming, that it would veer, the needle in the middle would veer over towards the negative rather than the positive?
Yeah, there's a real war of words almost, and battle for people's hearts and minds on this. And it's a bit upsetting because for me as a farmer, because I kind of feel, you know, there's no other profession out there that isn't more aware of their legacy, of the kind of this idea that there's a mantle being passed from one generation to the next. And that's why farmers are so weird, if you like, about letting land go or selling land and cashing in their chips, because it means so much to them. And then to find that farmers are being accused of wrecking the planet and wrecking the environment, it just doesn't compute in a lot of farmers' brains. And of course, that's not to say that farmers haven't.
Well, collectively, we do know the figures and the statistics are there, and the EPA figures. But then when you boil it down at individual level, farmers are being targeted. We've heard stories here of children of farmers, you know, being targeted and being bullied because they come from farms.
Yeah.
And that's anecdotal evidence which we've heard in this programme because of the general narrative that is, and I think you coined the phrase, that farmers are environmental terrorists.
Yeah.
Did you get a bit of heat because of that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I get heat.
from all sides.
All the time, I mean, through my
mainly
work.
Mainly from farmers.
Well, I get a bit of heat from farmers because they're passionate about what they do. And, they're, you know, I write about my passion, which is farming, every week in the Irish Independent. So, yes, I mean, I'm in a farmer buyer group, and I know that some of the other lads in the group, their kids have got abuse at school. You know, this idea that, you know, to...
Is it because the environment or the animal welfare argument?
I think it's couched in the environment. It's cloaked in, you know, oh, this is all about, you know, making sure that the environment is protected. But I think if you drill down into it, it may be that there's a belief system out there that farming animals is bad and we don't need to do it anymore. And I think, you know, you've had whole programmes looking into that and the debate is ongoing. But to come
very, very divisive debate. Now, there is the moderate middle. It's like politics where, you know, you have people willing to work together. But, you know, so the extremes on either side that you just can't reach.
And the vast majority of the population, the silent majority, is in the middle. And they don't. Sometimes they don't know which way to stick or twist. But hopefully...
Can you understand in the modern era we live in, Dara, why people, particularly younger people now, might be a little bit abhorred about the idea? Now, that's a very strong word, but that's the word they would use about the idea of, you know, live export of calves and, you know, having pigs and poultry indoors and all of that sort of stuff. That image there is something that they're a little bit uncomfortable with.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, there are things out there that I would be uncomfortable about in farming. Like, so nobody is trying to say that farming is perfect and, it's perfect for the environment. I've stood in feedlots in Nebraska in the US with 80,000 head of cattle. And just to kind of paint a picture in people's minds, if you took a 300-acre field and you stripped off all the topsoil and you put down fences and put a concrete roadway through the middle and built a small mountain of feed at the side and then dropped 80,000 head of stock in there, that's what a modern intensive feedlot looks like in the States.
But do you think then that image is what's in people's minds of farming in Ireland?
So, you know, these images get beamed around the world. And then, you know...
With no filters.
No filters. And then everybody thinks, well, if you're a big beef farmer in Ireland, it's the same as, you know, some shot they saw from Nebraska. So I suppose what I try to do in my work and what you're doing in your work when we're trying to communicate to people about what's actually happening on farms and on Irish farms, people need to come to it with an open mind, and we need balance. There's a whole world, a whole spectrum of different systems out there. And yes, some of them are incredibly intensive and a bit questionable. But the vast majority, like, people are in the middle. Yeah. You know, they're ordinary farms, you know, 100 acres, 200 acres, 100 cows milking, you know, a flock of 200 sheep, maybe.
So would there be many farms in Ireland with like 500 cows being milked?
I mean, I'm in a dairy partnership at home and there's over 500 cows going through the parlour every day.
How many farmers are there like that, dairy farms?
It'd be probably less than 5%.
Okay. So 95% are...
95% are somewhere between, you know, 60... The average herd size, dairy herd size, and this is all in the book, by the way, is 83 cows on Irish dairy farms
in the book,
despite all the expansion that we've talked about.
So, I mean, you're coming at this book from an information perspective rather than an opinionated perspective, are you?
I've tried to strip out all opinion out of this. Yeah. It's facts. And curious facts, you know, and things that I learned about, you know, I never knew that sheep had rectangular pupils and that allows them to have peripheral vision.
Right.
And no wonder it's so hard to catch a sheep.
Any other stats like that?
Like a bee.
Oh, yeah, love
will,
this one.
A bee will, in its lifetime, generate about 0.5 milliliter of honey. So you can imagine how much work a hive puts into generating a jar of honey. And in fact, scientists estimate that for a single jar of honey, bees have to fly about 3 laps of the planet.
Yeah.
The mind boggles.
Yeah,
right?
I was doing the Brendan O'Connor show a few weeks ago here, and James Morrissey has written a book about that, and I nearly fell off the seat when he told me that that's what they do, the work that bees put in. And I mean, again, they're under a little bit of pressure, and the argument is that it's intensive agriculture has caused that, along with other things as well. But we need to protect bees. And I was on a bee farm last week and, you know, saw how they coexist beside cattle and sheep.
And you know, it also in the book, there's a section there about farming and the environment and climate change and farming into the future, farming in the past. Of course, we had to have a section on tractors because every young fella is mad about tractors, whether he's from a farm or not. He may have never been near a tractor in his life, but they seem to be magnetically drawn to the things.
Well, come here to me, Dara. You know, you're an awful busy man. I can never get you on the phone because you're either filming or writing books or writing for the Indo, or you're farming.
Yeah.
So what's happening at home?
Yes.
You're always changing. So what are you at the minute?
When I leave here, I'm going to drop off a few books at the farmers market that we operate. We sell flowers from two farmers markets every week, one in Trim and one in Bluebell.
Okay, can we just get you ready for going home? We just get you into the mood? Do we have that little... No, we're going to put it up just to get you into the mood. No, we don't have it. I was going to play a little bit of rave music, you know.
All right,
so you're hoping that you don't...
Boom, boom.
You're hoping that you won't have a rave to deal with this weekend, which you did last weekend, and I heard you on about it, but that was a surprise. That's like, something you've never had on the farm before.
Of course not. And something I prefer not to have on the farm again, Damien. I mean, like, there's no 2 days the same on a farm. After I go to the farmer's market, I'm actually going to a building site where we're planting spring flower and bulbs, because of course we grow spring flower and bulbs on the farm. So we've turkeys on the farm, we've Christmas trees,
you've a right mix.
A dairy partnership.
Well, do you know
cereals.
What, Dara, can I just say, I'm going to get you to sign this book to my daughter, who started studying agricultural science in UCD this week. And I think for anybody her age, it's not just for six-year-olds, but particularly anybody, and she wants to study agriculture and environmental science. I don't look that old, of course, but she started this week in UCD, so the best of luck to her. So I'm going to get you to sign that book to her while I read out the... So it is The Great Irish Farm Book. You cannot miss it. It's a beautiful, big, encyclopedic-style book. Dara McCullough and Sally Sally Caldwell did a fantastic job in the illustration. So well done, Dara. Enjoy your farming and best of luck with the book. And that's it from Countrywide for today. Thanks to all the team. Don't forget, playback is coming up after the 9 news here in Radio 1. Until I talk to you at the same time next week, bye-bye and thanks for listening.